Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Alice T. Chan, the Stage Show Lifestyle Expert. Today is Thursday, October 15th, 2009, and I want to welcome you to the Stage Show Lifestyle Radio Show. On a weekly basis, I interview real estate and home-related professionals from all across the country to provide homeowners with valuable information, resources, and tools for home selling, improvement, maintenance, and living. This radio show is an extension of the Staged Home Lifestyle Network, which is an elite membership club designed to take home sellers from preparing their homes to sell to designing the Staged Home Lifestyle in their new home. Staged homes are not just for selling. It's a way of being. And today, I'm super excited to interview a very special guest, celebrity party planner Marlee Major. Marlee, are you on the line?
I am here.
Hi, Marlee. Let me just give you a quick introduction before we get started.
Okay.
Marlee Major is the CEO of The Party Goddess, a nationally acclaimed full-service event planning and catering company that originates all aspects of large-scale functions, including menu planning, cuisine preparation, prop styling, floral design, furniture and accessory rentals, staff hires, and music. Kind of sounds like the staging business.
Yeah, actually.
Since the company's beginnings in 1992, her client list has included Earthlink, Cedars-Sinai, Georgetown University, Art Center College of Design, Whole Foods, and many more like that. Major has also produced notable events for the Hollywood Bowl, the Critics' Choice Award, luxury car manufacturers Porsche and Rolls-Royce, Bentley's brand, as well as celebrations for celebrities that you'll probably recognize, Britney Spears, Jennifer Love Hewitt, and Ross McCall, Pierce Brosnan, Katherine Heigl, Snoop Dogg, Ali Landry, and is it Cesar Millan?
Yeah, the Dog Whisperer.
The Dog Whisperer, there you go.
Yeah.
So she's known from understated elegance to rockstar fabulous. Marlee Major is known for creating the most well-talked-about parties of the year. She's a regular on-air contributor to nationally televised Fox & Friends program, and with appearances on Entertainment Tonight, CBS Morning News in Los Angeles, HGTV, KABC Los Angeles, the E! Network, the Wedding Channel, on and on. She is the expert that people turn to for all things entertaining. Her articles have been featured in various publications, including The Wall Street Journal, Fortune Magazine, InStyle Weddings, Rob Report, OK, Us Weekly. I mean, she does guest spots on various radio shows, including my own here, and Martha Stewart's Sirius radio show, and she's contributed to several books. So I'm super-duper excited to have her here to share with us today how to create the wow factor for your open house, which is, I think, an important factor that's overlooked a lot of times.
Right.
So, Marlee, I want to welcome you. I want to thank you so much for hanging out with me this morning and sharing your knowledge with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I mean, we have, obviously, there's so much to talk about. And I know, Alice, every time you and I chat, we kind of think we know what we're going to talk about. And then we go down all these fun tangents about, you know, ways to throw great parties. And this is a really fun, unique topic. So I'm really glad to talk about it. So where do you want to start?
Well, you know, I know you're known for throwing fabulous parties for celebrity clients.
Right.
And what I want to talk about today is that the traditional open house is really not very effective.
Right.
But my thought pattern is that if we treat it like a party, then we would attract more buyers.
Right.
So can you help walk us through how we can essentially transform what I refer to as an ordinary event into something that could be absolutely extraordinary and even memorable and work to the home seller, the realtor, and everybody's advantage?
Sure. Well, what I think everybody needs to do, first of all, is start with the end in mind, which is what is the goal? I would assume that the goal for everybody listening is to sell the house at the quickest amount of time for the most money possible.
Right.
So I think that when I plan an event or, you know, try to accomplish any other goal in my life, you know, I write it down and I put it right in front of me, because sometimes we get carried away doing all these other things and we forget to keep our eye on the prize, which is, I don't want people to get caught up and be like, okay, yeah, and we're throwing a party. Well, yes, we are throwing a party at this open house, but the goal, again, is to get the house sold, not to meet 10 new friends, unless they're going to line up and make, you know, all kinds of different fabulous offers.
Right.
So figure out what the goal is. Number two is, or I guess just reiterate to yourself what the goal is. The next thing is to figure out who is the target audience. And I know so many times all of us fall into this trap of like, well, the whole world is our target audience. You know,
right.
Anybody who can buy a house at X price range. Well, not necessarily. Like, and this is sometimes feels counterintuitive, but it's really important with respect to parties and in this case, open houses. And it's who is the target audience for this house? Is it, you know, parents with two young kids? Is it a single, you know, is it like a single guy? Is it a single woman? Is it who are you trying to appeal to? And that I'm going to come back to over and over and over because I use what I call a through line. Like you want to pick who your target audience is and kind of what your theme or direction is going to be. And then you want to have that through line through every aspect of your event. And this open house we're kind of treating as an event. So once you determine who your target audience is, let's say that it's you know, a young family, okay? So let's say that it's, you know, the parents and two kids. Well, one thing that I would do then is I would, you know, when you send out an invitation for a party, right, you decide, okay, listen, it's a Mexican-themed party or it's, you know, an Oscar theme. The invitation reflects the theme of the party. Well, unfortunately, with open houses, you know, it's like open house, everything is always looks exactly the same, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
How do people find out? Well, you tell me, too. How do people find out about open houses? They see them in the paper, right?
Yeah, they see it in the paper. They see it online. The realtors may let – it's on MLS, you know,
yep.
So people know that they can – the realtors know that if they have buyers and they're going to take them around, they can look at the MLS and they'll know about that.
Right.
So it's kind of – I think traditionally it's fairly limited how much exposure open houses actually get.
Right.
Because statistically, that's not how people buy houses.
Right.
And so I think, unfortunately, it is a mindset shift for realtors as well that
right.
you really need to tweak this and make it work to your advantage. And I'm really happy that you're talking about who the target audience is because I talk about that a lot because even for staging – I tell people it's really important to understand the psychology behind it, and when you
yep.
know who your target audience is, then you tailor everything to that.
Exactly.
And it's so much more impactful.
Well, and for example, okay, and we're gonna I am going to continue to walk you through this, but just to really hit this point home, you know, when – unfortunately now I'm happily married and three kids and the whole thing, but when I went through my divorce, I was shopping for a new house, and I wanted to leave my old house behind, right? So I was looking at new houses, and I found this fabulous house on a hill, and it was a single bachelor had lived there, and it felt very like Hollywood Nights kind of thing to me. It was really cool. I mean, it wasn't like gross, like orgy kind of thing, but it was just very much a sophisticated house. It didn't have a big yard. It didn't have, and everything about it was very cool, right?
Okay.
And that's who he was marketing to. He had a very, you know, sleek flower arrangement as opposed to like, you know, kids' toys and stuff around. Because that wasn't the mindset I was in. I wanted to get out of this marriage and then move into this house and kind of have fun, have a place where I could have my friends over, et cetera. So when
sure.
I saw this house, that's how he had it set up so that I could envision myself already living that lifestyle.
And it
so let's go back to, okay, so you've got this family with a couple kids. Now, again, who we talked about some of the ways that people find out about open houses. And, again, I do think it's a mindset shift. And some of these things you're going to have to just try and tweak because, listen, it's not going to be a perfect solution right out the gate. But what I would do is, I mean, people, I think successful transactions happen when somebody has heard about the house like through a friend or somebody says, hey, listen, there's a house coming up in my neighborhood and they tell their friend, that kind of thing. Well, one of the things I would do is I would do some kind of like, yeah, maybe flyers so that they're inexpensive, but quote like so that they look a little bit more like invitations, you know, and pass out all these flyers to other people in the neighborhood, not just so that they'll come through, sure, but with a call to action actually on that flyer. Like, you might not be looking to move, but perhaps because, you know, in the neighborhood most likely is going to be other, you know, similar couples or similar, you know, young families. So pass out those flyers or pass it out at, like, my gym or the Mommy and Me classes or something like that you're going to have this fun open house on Saturday, whatever day. It's going to be from this time to this time. And if you're not looking, please give this flyer to a friend of yours who's looking for a great kid-friendly home, da-da-da, and spell out the benefits, not necessarily that it's got four bedrooms and three bathrooms. But what, you know, that it's got such great space and a playroom so that the kids can be occupied while you're making dinner. Or do you know what I'm saying about selling benefits instead of just selling, like,
right,
the physical
absolutely.
Components to a room? So I'm talking about instead of just saying, you know, like on the MLS, I mean, with some of these things, there's nothing you can do. I mean, it's listed four bedrooms, X amount of square feet, da-da-da. But I'm suggesting not only bringing party planning components, but bringing marketing components. So tweak the flyer and have it go to people that you wouldn't necessarily consider, as I say, like at the Mommy and Me classes or things like that, so that you get the neighborhood working for you. And have it look fun and inviting, just like at the holidays when you get three different invitations and they all are boring and then you get one fabulous one and you're like, oh, guess which party I'm going to.
Right.
So make it enticing from the beginning. The next thing is signage. Make sure a lot of times, you know, a realtor will have a sign and then it'll point. You know, if it's a kid's house for a young family, put balloons or something. But don't put, like, regular balloons. Put balloons, you know, from the balloon place. Again, this is not expensive. We're talking about one tiny little bunch. But that looks like created into balloon animals or something really different so it catches your attention. You're like, what is that?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and then on the sign, I would put at the top, you know, perfect for a young family, and then the fun bright balloons. Because guess what, we all know this. You pass by on a Saturday or Sunday. How many signs for open houses? Like
right.
10 million, depending on how the market is. But if all of a sudden you see balloons, you see everybody's doing the same damn thing. But if you do something like it's some balloon funky thing of an animal, the kids will be like, "Look, mommy, look at that." Well, already if they took the time to put balloons or put a little sign on the top that says, you know, perfect for a young family, guess what? Even if you're just cruising around, it might entice you.
Right.
So
made them stop
the
and
first,
pay attention. Yeah.
Yeah, it gets your attention. So, again, I'm combining marketing with party planning, but some of these things are really intrinsically tied. So then next step, since we're walking through, you get to the house. Okay, what happens when you go to a party? Well, at a good party starts with a good hostess, okay? And that's how you or your agent or whoever is going to be, quote, you know, running this event. And that person needs to be greeting people because, let's face it, you can be the most confident person in the world. I, you know, thank God I'm not lacking confidence. However,
no, I wouldn't say that about you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's not necessarily one of my strengths, but, I, you know, it is what it is. But the point is I can pretty much talk to a plant. But yet at the same time, I don't like walking into an environment where I'm by myself, even if I'm meeting a girlfriend somewhere. At first when you walk in, you're uncomfortable, right?
Right.
You stop. You're kind of looking around. Do I go left? Do I go right? You know, where is she? Who am I supposed to meet? You know, you're kind of assessing your surroundings. So you want to make sure that there's somebody in that greeting position.
Okay.
So you have somebody that's really there welcoming you into the home because, again, you're trying to get them to envision themselves or their best girlfriend, you know, living in this home so that it's warm, it's friendly, it feels fabulous. So the basics that I'm sure you guys talk about, you know, in terms of home staging, like, you know, having flowers and having the lights on. But a couple things make sure is do not forget the music. And this is something that I tell my clients, plan this ahead of time. Do not wait till the day of the open house to plan the music. Put your iPod, you know, get your iPod together, or if the house has speakers and, you know, going throughout the house, all the better. But plan out that whole time period plus about an extra 30 minutes so that, you know, in case it runs over, all the different music you're going to play. And, again, the music should correspond to your target audience.
Absolutely.
If you're trying to attract a young family, maybe you want to have soothing music on because the mom is going to walk in and feel comfortable and the kids are going to calm down. Or if you want, like, just a cheerful, upbeat mood, then you're going to put different music on. If you want them to stay versus come in and go out quickly, you know, you take all those things into consideration. But really consider the music. So you're going to have somebody greet them. They're going to be, you know, warmly greeted when they come in. Then they're going to hear the music that's, you know, just sets the tone. And then another thing is make sure that you've got some kind of fabulous smell going. I mean, right now we're going into fall, but it doesn't matter what season we're going into. If you're going into fall, you know, have some apple cider on the stove or bake some cookies, or if it's the holidays, you know, have a great spruce scent. something so that, again, you're engaging not only visually, because hopefully the house looks clean and, you know, fresh that way, but that also you engage the sense of smell and the music, and you just feel really comfortable. And then this greeter should kind of, the next step is kind of point them in the right direction. And you know, a good salesperson knows how to do this. They know, okay, wait a second, is this somebody who's going to want to have their hand held, or are they going to kind of want to explore? So just like at a party, a good hostess says, hi, welcome, you know, so-and-so or whatever. In this case, you might want to say, hi, welcome, you know, how did you find out about us? Or we're so glad to see you, just so that they feel warm and invited. So that's kind of the first step in the home.
Right.
And then a good hostess would say, you know, take the coat or whatever if that's appropriate. The next step would be kind of giving a few directional cues, like telling the guest where you want them to go, okay? Not necessarily following them around. But a good hostess would say, okay, the bar's over here, you can put your coat here, here's where the food is, that kind of thing. Well, in a house, in an open house, it's going to be no different. And one of my ideas for a fabulous open house for you guys would be to put the food or bar or entertainment in key areas of the house that you do not want the guests to miss, which I think is a great idea, if I may say so myself.
Absolutely.
So let's say that you want to highlight, let's say that the house maybe is not the best thing, but the backyard is gorgeous or it has a great view.
Right.
Then I would put something that draws them to the best point of that house, because in sales we know that you remember the beginning and you remember the end. You very rarely remember what happened in between, and you remember how you feel. So that's why that greeting is so important. So greet them and then say, listen, you know, this open house is a little bit different than what you're used to. You know, we've got, here's a sheet on the house. There's all these great features. But on the sheet, I want to mark for you some key points. And then on the sheet, I would mark, hey, you know what, master bedroom, go check it out, because we've got, you know, hors d'oeuvres, if that's not going to mess up the carpet or whatever. Or we've got some kind of, you know, or go check out the family room if you're selling to a family with young kids, because in there we've got a guy, you know, creating all kinds of balloon art and doing fun little, you know, tattoos and stuff. Because guess what? The parents are going to be ecstatic. So the key in a situation like this is to let the parents roam around and let the kids have, you know, kind of an activity if they're not too young. And so sort of mark off these little things on the house as key points, like make sure you check them out. And then at those key places, have something for them to see, like a drink or, you know, if you're trying to highlight that it's a party house, you know, all these great features, so that they not only are told about the features, but they, again, experience them. So this young family, if it's a great yard or a great playroom or a great, you know, whatever it is, they will see and picture themselves in that space. And then you kind of read your crowd. So let them wander around, let them have some time, you know, on their own. And then, again, the salesperson mentality comes in, where you sort of check on them at a certain point and be like, oh, isn't this a great, you know, deck? Or isn't this a great, and kind of engage them and then start asking them questions. Because so many times with open houses, I mean, Lord knows I've been to and done enough of them, you know, so many times it's like the agent or the homeowner or something is like telling the client all these things.
Right.
Like,
so.
And like,
here's,
it's like,
the living room, here's the dining room, here's the kitchen. Like,
yeah, and isn't this great? And then this, and then, but instead, again, have a little paradigm shift where you put your salesperson hat on. The best salespeople listen. So ask tons of questions, because if you're asking questions, you can drill down on what they're really looking for, you know?
Right.
So if their concern is, hey, wait a second, you know, I've got a baby on the way, and we've already got two kids, and this has got two bedrooms, and I see this office. So maybe they're wondering, can they expand, and what are the, you know, how easy is the city to do construction, because they would need to build another bedroom. Meanwhile, you're focusing on this fabulous infinity pool. Well, they're freaked out about the infinity pool because, you know, they don't want the kids to die. So one of those things where you have to just ask a lot of questions, and have these activities in the house so that they feel great. And then the next thing is make sure they've seen the key points of the house, ask questions, follow up. And the other thing that I always love to do, whether it's a special event or something is you want to get their information, right? Well,
right.
What do we typically do? We have them sign a guest book. Well, who the hell wants – I'm sorry, but who wants to sign a guest? I mean, what is that going to be for, right? I mean, you know what it's for. But what we do is we have them fill out a little sheet, and it's got their name and, let's say, email address. You can have their mailing address if you want, but I would probably just ask for their name and email address. And have it be a drawing to enter to win something. So what you do is anytime you want something, you have to give something. So you tell clients, and listen, you know, this is such a special house, and so we've partnered with XYZ restaurant down the street or some, or, you know, a spa or something to give a gift certificate, and we're going to pull a name at the end, and we'll let you know, somebody put, like, a name and email and a phone number. And we'll be deciding the winner at the end of the day. And guess what? Now you have their contact information. So now you can market to them different things about different houses coming on the market. Maybe on that sheet put, you know, what they're looking for in terms of a home. And try to think of it as the next step in the sales process. So the first step was getting them to pay attention to your ad / flyer / invite. So we've already tweaked that model a little bit, right?
Sure.
Then we've got the sign. The sign looks really cool and attractive. Then, okay, so now we've gotten them to take the next step with us. And then we get them into the house. Okay, another great thing. Then they've had a great experience in this house. Now you're going to say, listen, I'm going to give you dinner for two or lunch for two or brunch for two or something. Enter twin. Now you've got their contact information and you can keep marketing to them. And continue, you know, in marketing, one of the things we say is get them on your list. And you can just continue to build your list.
Right.
And then continue to mark, you know, I call it then rinse and repeat, where you keep at it. And now you're building your list of people who have been to open houses of yours before, who, you know, maybe even if people don't care, you know, say, listen, I'd love to, can I take a photo of you or, you know, doing some fun activity, send them the photos if you want. That's not too weird. But somehow engage them so that now they're, you know, now they're part of, like, they know that you, they identify you with cool open houses.
Right, and you can let them know about other ones. So even if this is not the house that's perfect for them, they can come to the next event and the next event.
Exactly, and then they know that you're going to be nice and engaging and you do cool stuff, and then you've got, obviously, delivery. You don't want to then have the next open house be lame. But you basically want to hit them with all these other points.
Set the standard from the beginning. So.
Yeah, set the standard from the beginning, and then that's what I call that through line. Actually follow through and create that wow experience. So that, and then when they leave, like, listen, there's so many things that people can do that you just don't realize. Like, have a free, you know, maybe there's a bakery or a cupcake place or someplace around. Have little, you know, a bag of cookies with that place's business card or a little thing of taffy or something that's fabulous about
that
neighborhood or that area, but so that they have a giveaway. Now, guess what? You now, that company can cross-market with the names. Now, you have to be careful. You want to put on that, you know, on your little giveaway, hey, listen, you don't have to fill this out, but you do have to fill it out to win, and you can have some kind of disclaimer on there that says that, you know, you're gonna put them on your e-zine list because you're not trying to do anything underhanded. And then the bakery or whomever gets cross promotion too. Do you see what I mean? So you're really setting it up as win-win, and then much more likely you're going to be able to get the bakery maybe even to have some flyers and say, hey, listen, there's a great, you know, family-friendly open house going out, and have it be a really cute flyer, as we said, and let all these other people do some of the work for you. So that's kind of my start to finish, is make it look different from the beginning and then have a way to follow up, because so much of business is done after the fact. It's not done necessarily right there. Maybe they really love the house, but ooh, they're not sure. They need to go home and talk to their husband, or, you know, that kind of thing. But at least you've got a way. You know, you've got potentially a way to still get back with them.
Right. Well, and I love the fact that what you pointed out with the greeter and having specific key people be a part of the whole event, because that is important. Because too many times, unfortunately, my pet peeve is, you walk in the house and either somebody completely ignores you, or they stalk you around the house and want to know exactly what you're doing the whole time. And that's not a warm and inviting type of environment to want anybody, you know, for anybody to want to hang around. And the key is to keep them in the house.
And if this is something that you're going to be doing more and more, what I recommend is that you, like, after every event, and there's so many things in different industries that you can apply, you know, that because business is business, essentially.
Right.
And so a couple things that we do after an event is, one of the things is we always do a what we call what worked and what didn't work. And so we will put together, hey, listen, so you would put, you know what, that was not a good idea to have hors d'oeuvres in the bedroom. You know, yeah, they have a wood floor, but it still was a mess. Or,
right,
you know, we should have done this or that with the bar, moved it. So just do a couple bullet points just for your team so that you know, hey, listen, that was a great idea. Or, oh, my gosh, we did cookies from this place and everybody loved it, you know.
Right.
Something like that. So basically good things and then things you wish you had done differently. Like, you know, it was too long or we should have had the balloon guy stay for longer or whatever it was. All those just little bullet points of what worked and what didn't. And then continue to build your system. And I can't tell you, it's so much easier after you've done it once or twice, is really create a checklist so that you have a system for as soon as there's going to be an open house, make your own system. You know, 3 weeks before, create flyer, you know, according to target audience. And I'd put right on the sheet, you know, the house address, you know, the owner's contact information, then who the target audience is for this home, key features of the home. And then I'd do your little, you know, 3 weeks before, create the flyer. You know, 2 weeks before, distribute, you know, whatever your own timeline's going
right.
to be. Distribute it to XYZ places where this target audience lives, because that's key. Figure out where those fish are swimming and go put the bait over there. Don't just put the bait in the middle of the ocean and hope that they're going to show up. Go find out where those people are, because you've got much more of a, you know, of a warmer, it's going to be much warmer sell, because that's your audience. And then really set up that checklist and then be like, you know, 1 week before, decide music, you know, call local caterer or something and have interest, like anything that you can possibly do to make it different, make it different. Like if you can have things, fun things on skewers or, you know, cheesecake popsicles or just fun foods that look different. Again, it doesn't have to be expensive. You don't have to, you know, give them the Thanksgiving feast.
Right.
But just something so like, oh, this is cute. I never thought, you know, whatever. And again, do a cross promotion with a local caterer. Share the names of the list you got, and everybody's happy. And then just keep, you know, working down that sheet. So a week before, you know, 2 days before, 1 day before, morning of, you know, dust, you know, put out, you know, an orchid or flowers or whatever it's going to be, and all those things, and literally just rinse and repeat. Like just keep that form and just keep checking it off so that
right.
it really becomes a system and you really are guiding the clients through that whole process. And
you
then
map out all the steps and then you just, like you said, just follow the steps every single time.
Every single time. And then if there were a couple people that really showed a lot of interest, then I would have on my system, like, you know, 2 days after open house, call them to follow up or
absolutely.
Email them to follow up. But that's a step that so many people, it's like you pack up your sign and you're done. It's like, oh, my goodness, you're not done. Now let's start cultivating these relationships. And I'm another big one, and again, this is something that we do in our business, and so I know it works, is we send out, you know, a weekly e-zine. And our weekly e-zine, for example, at the Party Goddess, you can sign up for it on our homepage at thepartygoddess.com, but we do a weekly e-zine, and sometimes, you know, if I get busy, it's not weekly, it might be monthly. But we'll put, you know, but for you guys, it should be weekly. My other company that's targeted to teaching event planners to be event planners, we do it weekly religiously. And, you know, pick five things a week that your target audience wants to hear about. You know, top five ways, you know, top five moving companies in the area. You know, three ways to make sure your valuables make it to their destination. You know, whatever your audience is interested in. You know, stuff about kids or the pumpkin festival, things like that every week so that they really feel connected to you. And you can set that up just like through constant contact.
Right.
And really communicate with them each week, because so many times I've been told that, oh my gosh, I've been on their list for years, and I'll be like, I have no idea how they even got on my list. They'll be on my list for years, and then sure enough, 3 or 4 or 5 or 7 years later, they'll book a party with me, you know? So I'm not saying that it's going to take 7 years, but I'm saying that just to have a way to consistently communicate. And I would even, with all those names of people that have been there, put on your little system sheet But then Monday after the open house, you know, enter all your names into Constant Contact, let's say, and shoot out an email, keeping those specific names in a labeled folder, like, you know, Normandy open house and the date, so that you know, and send out an email to them saying, hey, listen, it was so great having you at the open house last Saturday. I just wanted to remind you of some of the key things about this house, da da da. If you wouldn't mind, please pass this email on to two or three friends who you think would, you know, this would make a perfect home for. Kind of like what people do with puppies. You know, it works. Send some great shots. Send it out. But ask, again, here's the other thing that so many people forget. They forget to ask for the order, AFTO. You've got to send it out and say, not only if you would be interested, that's great, but please send this to two or three friends. Now, is everybody going to do that? Of course not. Not everybody's going to even open it. But who cares? If you have one person who forwards it to a friend who forwards it to a friend, you know, you're that much closer to selling a house. So it's very worth it.
Well, it's being in front of your audience and communicating with them and, like you said, asking them to do something for you, that call to action. And
yes,
that could be as simple as just forwarding the email. Like, if you
right.
know anybody who might be interested in this neighborhood, in this house, here are the wonderful features that it offers.
Right.
Please send it. And like you said, you just never know. Maybe people don't do it, but the few, it's like the whole, and they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and then, you know, magic happens after that.
Yeah, and you really can't underestimate that. I can't tell you how many times, and then have it forward the email to a friend, and then have a way where they can sign up to be on your newsletter list. Like, have a link. You know, did you like the information contained in this e-zine? Make sure that you get it. You know, have it delivered to your inbox, and then get them to sign up, and just, again, stay in touch. And remember, there are three key things in marketing. People do business with people they know, they like, and they trust.
Absolutely.
And it's not, they don't do business with people who, they have two out of three. They know them, they like them, and they trust them. How many times have you, you know, heard that Joe Blow hired his attorney because he met him on the golf course? Well, yeah, because he knew, you know, he hung out with the guy every week. He knew him. You know, he's a cool guy. He trusted him. He could tell, you know, he wasn't a shark. That seemed like a good person. The rest of the world, whether it's selling houses or booking parties, isn't any different. You know, you want to call somebody that you know is going to be happy to hear from you and going to take good care of you. And, you know, home buying is serious stuff. So,
well, and real estate is really all about relationship building. So imagine the type of visibility that you're getting for this property also increases your own visibility
right.
as a real estate agent, as the salesperson
right.
for that home. I mean, you're putting
right.
your name out there. It's out on the front lawn for hopefully not as long as it has to be if you do all of this right also.
Right, right.
But it's also showing what kind of added value you offer to your clients.
Exactly. And again, just remember, you know, it's that whole little pink spoon thing. You know, Baskin-Robbins gives you a free little taste. You know, if you're like, listen, I don't know if I want to switch from my favorite fudge brownie ice cream. Let me taste this one and see. There's no risk. Yeah,
right.
I can have a little taste. It's free. Who cares? This is the same way. Let people kind of, you know, they need to be voyeurs for a little bit. They need to kind of see, you know, what's this Alice Chan up to? What's her deal, sort of? And before they will make, I mean, sometimes they won't. Sometimes they'll just, you know, hand over the credit card. But a lot of times with me, a client isn't necessarily going to just turn over the credit card for $50,000 or $100,000 without some kind of experience with me, and whether it's a referral or just knowing, you know, getting my stuff every week, you know, and make it personal. You know, talk about what you're up to that week and some cool things happening, because people, again, they do business with people they know, like, and they trust, and they will feel like they know you if you're communicating this way, you know, via email or via Constant Contact. And again, this stuff is almost free. I mean, you're building a business, so you have to spend some money, but it's so inexpensive. And the other thing too is, on that sheet, if you can get mailing addresses, I recommend that. And you probably will be able to if you do the drawing. Because if you get mailing addresses, another way to really close many more deals, and this has been proven, and people say, oh, direct mail is dead. It is not dead, is to communicate with people on multiple levels, you know. So
right.
send a postcard, send your weekly easing to them. But, again, have a system, you know. Have a sales system designed that you're going to send them, you know, three postcards, you know, one a month about all different open houses, and then the fourth one you're going to send them a little treat. you know, something fun that, again, your audience would resonate with, and then, you know, three more postcards and then a treat. But always something just to keep them tied to you. So, hey, listen, even if they don't want to buy that house, they just want to have you as their listing agent.
Right.
Who cares? You know, it's something you didn't have before, and it's just kind of a great way to close those loops, and it's none of it is difficult to do. I mean, believe me, if I can do it, anybody can do it, because I have no patience. So.
That's why you and I are, that's why we get along. We're on the
same
page.
Exactly.
Well, I love how you pointed out, and these are all really, really great points, is that we're not just talking about making a fabulous event with the whole party planning aspect of it, but marketing is a huge component, and I think real estate, staging, the real estate, the party, everything is all marketing. It's all about getting visibility to this property, getting visibility to you as the realtor that is selling this property, or the home seller, whoever it may be. I mean, everything builds on one another, and if you combine all of it, it's so much more powerful than trying to just really, you know, have an open house. So you open it for 2 or 3 hours every weekend for the next 6 months. Like, what is that going to do? It doesn't do anything. So if you change it up, take an old concept and really turn it into something really fabulous, it will just do wonders.
Really trick it out. And that's the thing, is that I've you know, having been in business for a very, very, very long time now, and with my own company, so it's, you know, essentially I'm just like a realtor. I'm just like everybody who's listening, because, you know, if I'm not selling, I don't have a company. So I'm forced to come up with all these great strategies. And again, it's, you know, know, like, and trust. It's consistently communicating with your audience. And the other thing is really deciding, like, as a real estate agent, just like as a grocery store or a restaurant or anything else, you are a brand. And if you choose not to look at yourself that way, you're missing something. But if you look at yourself as a brand, and you want, you know, Target is one kind of brand and Neiman Marcus is another. Neither one is better or worse, because they serve their audience, and you know what to expect. If you love McDonald's hamburgers, when I want to junk out, I love a McDonald's hamburger, okay? And why? Because I know exactly what I'm going to expect. I know I can drive in, I can get my fix, I'm going to get my french fries, I'm excited, I'm going to feel, you know, very challenged later, but that's okay. And I know what I'm going to get. So people should have that same feeling about you. You should have your own brand, whether that brand is kind of, you know, casual and fun, or upbeat, or more serious and professional. It really doesn't matter, as long as you're resonating with your target audience. And so that when they see, if they see Alice T. Chan, or they see Marlene Major, they go, ooh, that's going to be a good one, you know, because they know you're known for that kind of stuff. And then you're creating all this free marketing for yourself, all this great buzz. So,
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's my 10-cent tour.
Okay. There's so many things that I want to ask you, but we're going to run out of time. But I want to address a couple of things really fast.
Sure.
And I thank you so much for all the information you shared, because this is so much fun. This is a
I knew that
topic.
Was going to happen.
I love it.
I mean, we have all these things, and I was like, oh my goodness, we're going to get through like one.
So
point.
I think we're going to have to talk about this a little bit more going forward. But
no problem. I'm available.
Let's talk about how people can learn more about you. And then I have one more quick question before we wrap up. So how can people learn more about you? And so do you have a website?
Yes. So my main website is called thepartygoddess2ds2s.com. And you can go to my homepage there, and it'll give you an optional opt-in. You can just put in your email address, and you can you can be part of my e-zine, and I talk about all kinds of entertaining tips, and again, you know, things for my audience, like how to entertain more affordably, how to, you know, create fabulous bang for the buck. So it would be a really great way for anybody who's listening to just get ideas. That's what a lot of my clients will say. Oh my God, you know, I just got tons of ideas about different event ideas, different resources. I cover things from hostess gifts. I cover all kinds of stuff. So make sure to get on that. Then if you peruse the website, you'll see we have tons of menus posted. We have drink ideas. I have a blog, and in my blog, which is thepartygoddess.com/blog, you can access it actually from the homepage too. But on the blog, I talk about all kinds of mindless drivel about my life, but I also will talk about really
and
cool
products. And it's hilarious.
Thank you. Well, and I also talk about cool things, you know, that you can do, you know, for your events, and cool products that have come out, because obviously this is my whole life, so I spend a lot of time on it. And then lastly, if you know somebody who wants to do more with event planning, or is, you know, wants to take it to the next level, I have another website called howtobeapartygoddess.com. And my last one, this actually would be good for realtors, is called butareyoumakinganymoney.com. And that's targeted towards, like, the business aspect of all our stuff. And I have a book coming out next year called But Are You Making Any Money? And it's all about tracking your expenses and your time and stuff like that, because I'm really focused on the bottom line. So I kind of cut to the chase. But what was your other question, now that they know where to find
you? Well, okay, just we didn't get to talk too many details about the event itself, some of the things.
Yes.
So just real quickly before we have to wrap up, What kind of food or drinks would you recommend serving at an open house event?
Okay, first of all, remember a couple things. You want it to be, consider the house and consider your target audience. If the house is full of white carpet or special, you know, furniture coverings and all that stuff, obviously don't serve red wine and don't serve cosmopolitans and things like that. If it's more of a thrash-proof house and you can get away with that and you're not worried, then, you know, go for it if you want to.
Right.
But again, consider your audience. Like if it's a sophisticated house you're selling kind of to the jet-set bachelor, then I would have really interesting, like I mentioned, you know, like little cheesecake lollipops or funky, fun food things that somebody, you know, if it's got a big, fabulous gourmet kitchen, well, you're going to want to showcase that. So I would
right.
do something interesting so that people go, oh, because somebody who's going to want to spend extra to have this Mac Daddy kitchen, guess what, is going to be interested in food. So do some really interesting things. One of my favorite websites for ideas for food is Epicurious, EPICURIOUS.com. And this is stuff, too, that I cover in my e-zine. I often give out resources. And I love to do that. And, you know, so, again, if you're targeting kids, I'd have fun little cheese sandwiches or peanut butter jelly sandwiches cut into shapes, stuff that's going to keep them occupied and happy with maybe not a ton of sugar unless, you know, they're going to be coming in and out. And then as far as drinks go, I always like to keep the bar really simple. You might want to, you know, stick with, like, clear liquids, you know, like white wine, Perrier, that kind of thing. But the other thing I always try to do is I always try to do something fun. So have one or two signature cocktails and then, you know, feature them, name them, something that's related to the house, you know, like the street address or something fun, and let people have a cocktail if you want. There's so many crazy, amazing things these days out there. You know, Hypnotique is blue, and there's this new cool liqueur called Nouveau. Palma liqueur is a fabulous one, the pomegranate. Liqueur that makes really fabulous martinis, and I mean there's a million. And as far as food and drinks go, if it's like a house that's really eco-friendly, or you know, in an area where that's very important, you know, you'd use disposables that are bamboo. Talk about how you're doing that. You know, like a liqueur like Palma is, you know, like a premium pomegranate liqueur, which has got all kinds of antioxidants. Like, do fun things like that.
Right, build it around a theme, which is another thing I wanted to talk about, which we're not going to have a whole lot of time to talk about. But,
right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I love doing themes because it really helps you kind of build out the entire event. So
yes.
One thing rolls into another.
And it helps give you a structure. So a theme, again, consider what neighborhood you're in. Consider the style of the house. Like if it's an old Spanish house, pull that into consideration. Have flamenco dancers. Do something fun. Like, who
mm-hmm.
cares? You know, just maybe the entertainment would do it on trade if you hand out all their business cards. I mean, that's a great marketing way for them. Then they can have the names, too, afterwards, after the list, to market to them. And, you know, a theme can be so many things. It can relate to a season. It could be a Halloween or fall theme. It could relate to the house, like, you know, a Spanish home. It could relate to the area, like if it's in some cool, hip part of San Francisco. You know, do something, you know, have kind of a light green open house, so that it's, you know, incorporates some aspects of recycled food and organic food, things like that. You know, if the town is known, has got this fabulous farmer's market every Thursday, and, you know, that's a big draw for people, highlight that and say, hey, listen, you know, you're serving all these fresh fruits and things like that are from the local farmer's market, you know, play that up. Just think about, again, it goes back to, think about the key features of the house, the area, and what you want to build your event around, and just look at it as like one little kernel that just becomes your inspiration, and then everything be consistent throughout. And that's probably my biggest message, is be consistent. Like, decide who your audience is, figure out who you are, how you're branding yourself, and then be consistent and carry that all the way through, quote, the invitation or how they find out about it.
right.
all the way through the end marketing, which is warm and friendly. And thank you so much. It was really great to see you last Saturday. If I can be of any assistance at all, please don't hesitate to call. Meanwhile, you're going to get my weekly tips and tricks every week. And you know,
well, you are so fabulous, Marla. I just love everything that you shared, and we could talk about this for hours. I mean,
we absolutely
fun
could. So we'll schedule another one.
Absolutely. So everybody go to thepartygoddess.com or howtobeapartygoddess if you want to be a party goddess.
Yep.
To learn more about Marley. And thank you so much, Marley. This was so awesome, and I look forward to talking with you again.
You're so welcome. Thanks, Alice. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.